All right, welcome. We're sitting here around again with John, Adam, and Pat. In this podcast, we want to discuss the numbers in the Bible and the importance that has when reading the Bible. And we've written a couple of papers on www.BibleTruthOnline.com where we explain a couple of number theories and explain how numbers relate to stories in the Bible. It's an interesting subject. One that the Jews study, called Gematria. It's a study of numbers in Scripture. And we feel that we have a specific edge and some commentary to offer our listeners. So let's start off the first round of questions here. I'm just going to direct it to you, Pat. When did you first start noticing the importance of numbers in the Bible and why?
I actually played a game as a kid that taught me how to read numbers with different sequences.
Okay.
And then the numbers, as I went through the Bible, they just popped out.
Huh.
Because they would be reoccurring, or there would be relationships between numbers. A certain story from the Old Testament would relate in that number combination in the New Testament.
Gotcha. So you paid attention to specific numbers in the Bible. For instance, when Peter casts his net, there's 153 fish.
Right, and what Peter does at that point is he hears what God says, in this case in the form of Jesus, and he follows and does what he does. He follows what Jesus did.
Right.
Well, you get the same thing in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah is offered to buy a piece of property for 17 shekels.
Right.
What his response is he's supposed to do what God says. God says you're not going to die in this land, therefore buy the property. And the 17 shekels is the same price as the 153 fish, in that 17, 1 plus 2 plus 3 up to 17, equals 153.
Well, let's explain it in a little bit. I think that's the point of the whole theory. But to the listeners and to the readers of these papers, one question that will arise is, so what? Why pay attention to how many fish were in Peter's net and how many shekels were offered as payment? Does that really matter? What do you say to people that have that question?
The story does. The numbers only show you what connects up with what. The story is, God said to do something. The answer is, you do it.
So you're saying those numbers are there for a reason?
Yeah, they're there to tell. They relate the two different stories together.
I guess.
Are you saying it's to draw a connection then? Or are you saying that the numbers tell a story in themselves? Or both?
They can do both, but the first thought or first look at it is to find out what stories go with each other.
Okay, gotcha. So, well, let's go into the numbers a little bit. We start off in one of our papers, the meaning of the simple number. So what is that about?
In the simple numbers, they're just simple explanations that keep reoccurring in the Bible over and over and over again. Every time you see it, they will relate back down to the same way. One is God.
Why?
Because there's only one God.
Okay. Why not zero?
Because zeros have no meaning. In the Jewish culture, there are no zeros. Uh-huh. The zeros actually come out through the Mayans.
Okay. It's good, you know, as we run through the numbers, you don't mind if I just ask you the reasons for why they mean. Okay, so one is God.
Okay, two is witness.
Why is it witness?
Because according to Scripture, you need two or more people to establish a fact.
Uh-huh.
You cannot do it just yourself. I can't say the sun is green. That doesn't make it right.
I got you.
If I find two people to say the sun is green, you either have an idiot or you have a fact.
I got you. Okay.
Three is Jesus. It's part of the Trinity thing. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But every time you go through and you see multiples of three, you keep running into Jesus. When you see it, you look back, it's referring to Jesus.
Okay.
Okay. Four is the world. Four corners of the world, the four major continents of the world, the directions north, west, east, south.
Right.
Okay.
Four winds of the earth.
Four winds of the earth, yeah.
Right. Gotcha.
Okay. Five is grace. Now, a lot of people don't get into it that much, but when you look at five being grace, when they marched out from the Ten Commandment movie,
okay,
we see this big scene of everybody marching out, but that's not how it was done.
Okay.
It was actually marched out in groups of five people at a time.
Okay.
Okay. So when you go through the Bible and you see the word five, if you think about grace, look back at the verse.
Okay.
Six is a common one. Six is man. It's told in Revelation that it's the number of man.
Right.
Man was created on the sixth day.
Okay.
Okay. Seven is perfection or perfecting.
Okay.
It usually marks the end of a completed cycle, like 7 days in a week, 7 years.
Okay.
You'll see this go on over and over again.
The Jews, that's something, of course, Jews have seven as perfection, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Eight is new beginnings. Notice we only get to seven. Anything past the seven, the next one becomes that new beginning.
Got it.
So the eighth day would be a brand new week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A new cycle.
Gotcha.
And also, you look at the example of the people on Noah's Ark that came out, there's eight people total. It's a new, uh-huh. new beginning of a new starts over again on genealogy.
That's a good point, because it's like, that's one I hadn't even thought of, but yet the numbers will take you right back into, if you don't know what's going on, you can see, you can read into part of it to get an idea on just the numbers.
I got you. Okay.
Okay. And nine's the hardest one. Nine is manifestation. An easier way of saying that is appearance.
Appearance of?
Jesus in most cases, because it's 3 times 3. It's that multiplication of Jesus. That's his appearance.
And you mean appearance as just appearing somewhere, or I know you've used the word manifestation before.
Manifestation is nothing more than appearance.
But appearing in a spiritual way or a physical way?
Depends on the story.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, okay. It's just your hand.
Right.
A bad example of saying that would be God will appear to man for the second time.
Okay.
Okay. Well, if you were going to say that out of numbers, it would be 1, God, appearance, 9. The second time would be 9 again. To man would be 6. Now, that's the wrong way of doing it. That's much too simplistic.
I get you.
But that's kind of how you're starting it off.
Okay. So what about the number 10 or number 11?
10 is like going past 7. It's a new beginning. It's a whole different category.
Okay.
Because you're now using 2 numbers.
I got you.
Okay, where these are simple numbers, if 10 had a meaning, and a lot of people put a value on 10,
right?
But it would have to have a value that had nothing to do with the 1 and the 0.
I got you.
Okay, I don't put a placement on 10. There's a lot of different 10s in the Bible, and maybe there is a meaning to it. It's just not one that I end up using very often.
Right, I hear you. Well, now, just quickly, so 10, I know... One of the things we talk about is all numbers can go back into the simple numbers, which would be 1 through 9. An example of that would be, let's take the number 12, for instance. 12 would be 1 and 2. So if you add those together, you get 3. So all numbers can go back into 1 through 9, correct?
Yeah. So, but you got to watch that because, okay, God and witness equals Jesus.
Okay.
Well, in this particular case, who is God's witness here on earth? It is Jesus.
So you're taking 12, 1 being God, 2 being witness, making up the number 12. I see. And you were saying 3 if you add them together.
Right. That's one way of doing it, but you gotta work the numbers and you gotta see how they work. That's a geometric statement on that, and that's it does have its explanation when you get into expounding numbers, which
right.
is something we'll do later. But to begin with, if you just learn the simple numbers to get started with, it'll let you see different phases of the Bible.
I guess. Question, why do you think the Jews have always studied the numbers in their scriptures? The Old Testament, of course, they study a lot of, you know, not the New Testament. Why do you think they study the numerical equivalents to the scriptures?
Well, because their letter system is a numerical system.
Their alphabet.
Right, so every time they write a word, it has a numerical value.
Correct.
Best example I have of that is their small letter T is equal to 300.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right.
The cross is equal to 300. There's a lot of different references that will come up on that, but that's you got to get into the numbers and you got to look at things before you can do that.
Gotcha. And you know, another thing too, before we move on, is that I have encountered, and I think we all have, reading other writers that have number theories based on the Bible. And I constantly run into taking the English translation of the Bible and retranslating it back into Hebrew Because the belief is, since the Jews have studied the numbers of Scripture so much, that you've got to take the translation and convert it back to Hebrew because their alphabet's based on numbers. Your statement on that?
Well, Hebrew wasn't the first language.
Right.
Or at least nobody could ever prove that. We got to the Tower of Babel, and God split up the languages.
Right.
Okay, so let's just hold that thought for a second, and then move on to where many people today believe we are in the last days.
Okay.
Well, the language of the last days, if God wants to get his message across, is going to be one that people are going to know.
Right.
It's my contention that God knows English.
Yeah.
And he knows how to count 1, 2, 3.
Right.
And that's about as simple as you can get, and I think you can do it straight off of English.
Is a theory go as far as saying he gets to do this out of every alphabet in the world?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay, and the reason I don't think that is, I think you're going to find that where this works at, it's going to be a most common language.
Right.
The ones most widely used around the world, not by numbers of people, but by groups of people that can translate back into.
Okay.
And I think those languages are going to be where the lost tribes are.
I got you. Okay.
Do you think the English version of the Bible is the most read around the world?
Well, it's the most taught on.
Okay.
You'd almost have to admit that the majority of the teaching comes from Britain or the United States.
Right.
The Catholic Church has their church, and notice they start off their teaching in Latin.
Right.
But even they have to convert back to English.
Right. Right. So, you know, you can look at this in Scripture in Hebrew. That's one language we know has numerical equivalents. What would be another one? Greek? Russian?
Don't know on that.
Okay.
I read the Bible in English.
Okay.
Therefore, I'm trying to translate the numbers in English. But the numbers themselves are pretty universal.
Right.
Okay, numbers are numbers.
Right.
When I tell you there are 37 camels,
right.
I can tell you there are 37 camels in any language you want.
Okay.
But the 37 is universal.
I got
it doesn't
you.
Matter whether it's in Chinese or Russian
right.
or whatever it is. It is 37.
I got you.
37, no matter how you say it, is still 37.
I got you.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. We discussed that, is that one of the reasons why God speaks through numbers instead of just language is that numbers do have a universal meaning.
Universe. Right.
And so when you get into different translations where you see translation errors in the words, the numbers still hold the same value in its meaning and showing up in the same places and cross-referencing those verses
right.
to another.
Here's another weird example for you. Let's say you're reading somebody's book and you want to know if this is an official religious text.
Okay.
Okay? So you're reading this lost book somewhere.
Right.
And they keep referring to man, and they keep referring to man with the number 2.
Okay.
Okay? Well, man isn't 2. Man is 6.
Right.
Okay? They're not matching up. The Bible has these numbers in there, these codes in there.
Right.
So you start running into a number where perfection is 19.
Right.
Doesn't make sense. Doesn't work.
I get you.
The numbers will pick it off quickly.
Right, I get you.
Now, you still have to go read the text. You got to find out. But if you're having questions about something and the numbers don't line up,
right,
it's from a different book.
I get you.
So what you're basically saying is that the more congruent the numbers are with what's being said in the text,
mm-hmm.
it means it's probably more valid.
I get you.
The other part is, there's so many different writers of the Bible. A man wrote Bible. Well, all these men were mathematicians because these numbers run
right.
from Genesis all the way through.
Right, right. I hear you. I mean, let's run with that. We just talked about the fact that the Hebrew alphabet has numerical equivalents. We're saying English is a language of God because it's spoken throughout the world. It's definitely here to stay. English isn't going anywhere. So the English alphabet also has numerical equivalent.
I think it has numerical equivalent when God says something.
Okay.
So I think if you take the Bible and you look at what it says, when I say, see Dick run, I don't think there's any spiritual message behind that.
Okay.
But when God starts off a chapter with something, it's good to take a look.
Okay.
See what's being said.
Well, let's just take a verbal example of it. So if our English alphabet has a numerical equivalent, so A would be 1, B would be 2, 3 would be C. I'm sorry, C would be 3. Let's take a word in do the equivalent of the math there. Let's try man, the word man.
13, 1, 14.
So M, 13, A, 1.
M, 14. 14. Okay. Which would be 28.
Okay.
Which is a witness of new beginning. When man came into the world, he would be a witness of a new beginning.
That makes sense, yeah. Okay.
That's just off the cuff. Just right. Trying to get definition.
If you add the 2 and the 8, you get 1, which is God, and you get God in the beginning creating man.
Creating man,
and
right.
Adam's name means man, which he's the first man.
Well, there's another example. Before we move on, how about Adam? A, Adam is 1.
1.
A,
G is 4.
Right.
A is 1.
Right.
M is 13.
Right.
It equals 19.
Okay.
Okay. God's appearance.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We were talking about this expounded numbers. That's a weird number for that.
Yeah, we'll
because
touch on
that. If you do 1 plus 2 plus 3 up to 19,
right.
You get 190.
Right.
So God's appearance in simple numbers, God's appearance in complex numbers as well.
So and that's where we're going next, is the complex numbers that we talk about on our site, BibleTruthOnline.com, the theory of expounded numbers. And it's a way of expounding, meaning to clarify the numbers. So instead of putting it back into 1 through 9, we can take it to another level, which is more numbers, which would be complex numbers instead of simple numbers.
Expounding numbers is taking a number and adding it to itself. So the number 6,
okay.
1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 would be 21. So 6 expounded would be 21.
Okay, why do you count 1 plus 2 plus 3? Why are you counting like that?
It's all the parts. We have one God.
Okay.
Okay? With Jesus being the second person, notice his number is 3.
Okay.
Okay. When we get to 3, 1, 2, 3, we get to 6. From God to Jesus, we go to man. After that point, we go to 4. God plus witness, plus Jesus, plus the world, gets you to 10,
okay.
Which is God starting back over again.
So if you were to put this on paper, it would look like a pyramid?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a different way of adding. It's adding, isn't it a total logical way of adding, like, units? One unit,
two units is
3 units, because 1 plus 2 is 3.
People of higher math have done this for a long
right.
time, because
right.
it's n squared plus n divided by 2.
Okay.
It's the formula for what we're doing.
Okay.
Okay. On our site, one of the group actually came up with a real easy way of doing it.
Right.
It's a number times half the number plus 0.5.
Right. Another formula. That's true. But the reasons for taking simple numbers and expounding on them would be
to see
the relation?
Just to see a relationship.
Okay.
One of the examples I always have was that 17 shekels and the 153 fish. The verse says, forget the numbers, the verse says, God says to do something, you do it. Jeremiah does it. He buys a piece of property.
Okay.
Now in the New Testament, you have Jesus tells Peter to take the nets and throw them on the other side of the boat.
Right.
Okay. In practical man applications, that has no effect.
Right.
Whether the net's on the right or the left, it makes no difference.
Right.
The key there is, you do what God says. Well, wait a minute, this isn't God. This is Jesus. You pick it up, you throw the nets on the other side, 153 fish come in. 17 shekels for what God said. 1 plus 2 plus 3 up to 17 is 153. So are we now saying from these two verses, Jesus is God? That's exactly what I'm saying.
Right, I hear you. So you're correlating Old Testament numbers and the New Testament numbers using the number theory.
Yes, exactly.
Makes sense.
So did the... You're saying that the Apostle John understood this theory when he said to calculate 666 in the book of Revelation?
Right. Well, we always look at today as that number being 666.
Right.
Okay. Which it is. And 6 plus 6 plus 6 is what we're talking about really is what? The 3 sixes?
Right.
And 36 expounded is 666.
Yes. Okay, so you go 1 plus 2 plus 3 all the way up to 6. Your calculator will show 36.
Well, so, no, that'll only show 21.
Okay.
But if you go 1 plus 2 plus 3 all the way up to 36,
okay.
That will show
666. Interesting.
And there's 36, and so the 36 gets you to 666.
Right. Huh, interesting.
Interesting thought.
Man times three. Man, Christ. Man trying to be Christ.
Because the Apostle John said to the mind has wisdom to calculate it.
Right.
And so this number theory must be something of importance in understanding the numbers that correlate.
Again, that's a good point because, you know, John, coming from a Jewish base, Jews knowing the numbers in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't think the Western civilizations, you know, we in the West, we just don't think about things like that as Jews do. You know, this is a total study of theirs. And like you're saying, John writing Revelation, I mean, why did he come up with that number? Why is it 666? And what did he know?
And why did he say to calculate it?
Yeah. You know, I mean, the Jews do this a lot, so it's definitely a valid point. And no one today really takes a look at that.
There are things in the Oriental culture that they do that the Western mind just has no concept of.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's right or wrong,
right.
But it is different.
Right.
The American Indians did things differently.
Yeah, right.
Okay? There's not only one way to do something. There's only one truth.
Right.
Okay, but it seems like there are several different ways of getting there.
I got you. Well, we're establishing the fact, you know, of gematria with the Jews being important, English language being numerical equivalent, paying attention to all the numbers in the Bible, and relating those to the Old Testament and New Testament writings in order to gain more understanding. And that's where we're going with this. So, an example, what would be a good example of how you would use, another example of how you would use numbers to get more meaning out of something in the Bible?
Okay. Well, if you look at the genealogy of Jesus, it's 77 when you go through the Father's line. We know 7 is perfection, and the line breaks up between the mother and the father in generation 37.
You're talking about the genealogy lines in...
From God to David, and at David, they split off and become 2 different lines.
Okay.
And the angle that makes, that's the generation 37.
Okay.
Okay. So what are the 3 sevens? Well, if you turn around and kill Cain, you'll be cursed 7 times.
Okay.
But Lamech, down off of Cain's line, he kills a man. And he goes, if Cain is cursed 7 times, then if you kill me, you're cursed 77 times. Now, who is this Lamech guy? Well, this is on Cain's line, not on the Seth line. But the Lamech Cain, 777, why is it that on the Seth line, the Lamech lives 777 years? What's the message behind that?
Yeah, that's a good point. There's two Lamechs in that genealogy. Going from Seth to Noah, then going from Cain forward, you see 2 different Lamechs, both saying 777.
Interesting. Huh.
Okay, so what is 777? Well, let's take a look at the 7th book of the Bible.
Okay.
The 7th chapter of the Bible.
Okay.
The 7th verse of the Bible.
Which is?
By the 300, I will save.
So you're done. Which the actual...
I mean, Judges chapter 7.
Judges chapter 7.
Verse 7.
Okay.
Uh-huh, it's with Gideon.
Okay, Gideon, right.
Okay, so by the 300 I will save, and the numerical value of little t in the Jewish language is 300.
Okay.
So, by the cross I will save.
Okay.
Okay, how long is a day? 24 hours.
Right.
Expanded out, 24 hours, 1 plus 2 plus 3 all the way to 24, it's 300. So, day by day, I will save.
I got you.
Okay? We said the number Christ is 3.
Right.
We also said that zeros don't count.
Right.
By Christ, I will save.
Got you. Got
There's an example of expounded numbers bringing a whole lot of different theories to bear on one subject.
And just talk about the Gideon verse. Here's a verse that people preach sermons on. Has never, you hear anything about the numbers. Why, out of the massive army they were facing, I mean, in reality, if you and I were going to go out on the battlefield with the amount of soldiers he was facing to fight, how could an army of only 300 men defeat so many people? Why did God choose 300? And that's the importance.
If you read the text and the story, the people don't even really do the fighting.
Right.
It was God, or you can say it was Christ, who won the battle, who won the victory.
Right. Because I mean, it's an impossibility. It's a miracle.
The 300 people weren't of any relevance.
Right.
The number 300 is the one that draws you to who won the battle.
Exactly.
Who came victorious.
Right.
Now we just did. This is how the expounded numbers work. They start taking you all over the place. Okay. So we just went from 777 to 300. Where else does 300 come in? Well, how many men did David have? The 30 mighty men, the 300 in his company.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay. Once again, you start taking those verses, tying it back into this one, and it's taking verses and giving them a correlation as to what should be studied with what.
Right. I got you. Well, here's a wild thought. And I've looked at this before. We mentioned the seventh book of the Bible, seventh chapter, seventh verse. Now, I've been asked, why are you paying attention to this, the chapter being seven and the verse being seven? Because men sat around in the table and divvied up the verses of the Bible and how many chapters are in the book of the Bible. It wasn't like that in the old times. Why would you pay attention to something that man created? Your answer on something like that?
Really? Okay. Man created it, but that's what you're telling me.
Right.
I don't think God let one little artifact to chance.
Right.
Where he wants its examples, he'll put them down where he wants.
Right.
We also done a piece in there where we talk about the generations of Jesus is 77. Okay. 77 from 100 is 23. And we're calling that the New Testament. By the way, in the Old Testament, the 23rd generation is Isaac,
okay. The
child of promise.
Right.
In the New Testament, who are the children of promise? Well, in the New Testament, people try to get around it, but there's an argument between James and Paul. Which one is right? Because they oppose each other.
Right.
You can talk, you can make up your stories all you want. But I tell you right now, the one who's right is going to be whichever one has the number 23 next to him.
Right.
Now, you say the chapters and verse don't mean anything. I ask you this. The number 23, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4, all the way to 23, is 276.
Okay.
Go find it in the New Testament.
Somewhere a biblical verse has 276 or something?
Right. And okay. A good place to start looking for that verse would probably be the book of Acts, chapter 27, verse 6.
I got you.
And what does it say? It says, Paul got on a boat.
Right.
Well, who really cares about that? How many men got off the boat? Acts chapter 7, chapter 27, verse 37. Oh my God, 276 men got off the boat. Pure coincidence? You have a better chance winning the lottery than that.
Right. Well, I mean, that is a premise that the Word of God is inspired. Yes, men had their hands on it to compile it physically together. But as a creator, being all around us, he's not going to let, he's going to put in the Bible exactly what he wants. So the seventh chapter is there because he wills it to be there.
Because it's telling a story.
Exactly. So those men were inspired to create that division in that book at the seventh chapter. It works out like that.
Far too often we see these correlations with numbers. I mean, there's no way there could be a chance actually for these numbers to fall into place and to relate to one another with the same meaning, saying the same thing.
Right.
Well, there's the perfect example for you. How many books are in the Bible? 66.
Ooh.
The number of man.
Right.
How many books are in the Bible in the Old Testament? 39.
Okay.
Christ is coming.
Right.
Christ is appearing. And when Christ gets here, what is he? He's the witness of perfection. There's your other 27 books. Christ is appearing. He's the witness of perfection to man.
I got you.
Now, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, and, you know, the Holy Spirit is one with Christ. When Christ was here, we were talking about this verse, he taught the parable of the sower and the seed. And he says, they're going to produce 30, 60, 100 fold. He's even using numbers throughout his parables. That's just one example of one parable. But he uses numbers that correlate back into the same thing. And you were saying that 361 is the same thing as John 3:16.
Yeah. 30, 60, 100. 316. God, dot, dot, equals man, or God, / man.
I got you.
Who is Christ?
Right.
He's God and man.
Right. Right. That makes sense. Now, well, going back there, too, the Holy Spirit writing the Bible. It's clarifying that.
You were saying that that it's obviously not man who wrote the Bible. So there had to be some kind of single factor running through the whole book that is the same for the whole thousands of years. You see all these different books being written and compiled later,
right?
Different church councils later, but it was one writer who wrote, who inspired them to write what they wrote. I mean, obviously with Moses, you start off with the first five books. You have the Jewish Bible there,
right?
And that was passed down directly from God on Mount Sinai. So going from there, each book after that, they're historical records, but it's what God showed man to write, as well as the prophets, and you move into the Psalms with David. And
that's a good way of putting it. God writes the Bible through the medium of the Holy Spirit, and the ground it here, the physical world, man is actually doing the work. Is that what we're saying?
Yes, exactly. Check that out with numbers, though.
Yeah.
You want to check that out with numbers. Did all of these writers know this numerical formula?
No. Okay. I don't think they were aware of it.
There's no way.
No way. Because how could you write down 17 shekels until the 153 fish come out?
Right. The physical reality is that there was 17 shekels exchanged. At the time, though, no one, well, even today, no one's paying attention. Wait a minute, why not 18 shekels? Why not 19? I mean, why not one? I mean, 17 is not...
That's the whole point. When God says something...
Right.
You should look at what he said. You should stop and look at it.
Right.
We get in, this has nothing to do with the numbers, but we always talk about the gates of hell, and we talk about Satan and his hordes will not be able to prevail against the church. The words was gates, people.
Yeah, gates.
The words was not Satan, hordes, or anything else.
Right.
The words was gates.
Right, right.
So when we're talking about 153 fish, amazing.
Yeah.
God's grace is Christ.
Right. 153.
Right, right. There is more. There's just something else to look at.
I got you.
Look at it and say it's wrong.
Right.
But look at it.
Right.
Yeah, you want to get loaded down with number examples, just read through the book of Genesis. It's loaded with, just like we're talking about the Lamechs. It's loaded. Every chapter's got numbers that are just popping out
right. And
showing you another message that's going on underneath the text.
Right. Definitely. Well, I mean, and some more tidbits for our listeners as far as, let's go with biblical verse, the numbers of within biblical verse. We did John 3:16. What's another one that we can do?
Well, before you just get off of John 3:16, there's Timothy 3:16.
Okay.
You can go through the 3:16s of the Bible and keep coming up. We do a part in there that we haven't even gotten to yet, where we do chapter 37.
Right.
There are six of them in there. They tell a fascinating story.
So you're saying, gather all the chapter 37s throughout the Bible and put them next to each other and see what they say.
And read them through.
I got you. Yeah.
Yeah, an interesting example that I see in Genesis 37, we see Joseph. And from a lot of Bible teachers, I've heard Joseph being... representing Christ, a type of Christ.
Right.
We see him being sold for 30 pieces of silver, I believe, the same quantity as Christ was sold for.
Right.
The same 30 number, 3, being surrounding Christ.
Yeah.
And chapter 37, Joseph being sold into slavery, just as Christ. I mean, you see a lot of examples of Joseph
right. And
Jesus, the same kind of story taking place.
I get you.
Being brought down low and exalted to the right hand.
Right.
In the top position.
Right.
There's just many examples if you go through study the life of Joseph, how it correlates to Christ.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, 37, to our listeners again, 3 being Christ, 7 being perfection. So 37, Christ perfection, Christ perfecting. So all the chapters 37s we're talking about is a story, should be a story about Christ perfecting. Right? And then you can put those together, see if it fits.
And then Christ is also, that's also that generation line past David.
Right.
Where it is the 37th generation.
Right.
Okay. We also have another set of numbers. They're called complex numbers.
Okay.
What complex numbers are, numbers that are larger than one digit that have their own separate meaning.
Okay.
Okay. That 23, the Christ witness, who is Christ witness? Well, from what we just talked about earlier, that 23 number, the 276, is Paul. that Christ witnessed. So where else does 23 come in? It comes in with Isaac.
Right.
It comes in with Aaron. For Aaron's death is at 123 years.
Okay.
So all we said there is God, dot, Christ's witness.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
24, being daily.
24 hours in a day.
Okay.
Okay.
The 24 elders.
Huh.
1 plus 2 plus 3 to 24 for the 300. We get David's army. We get Gideon's army by the 300. Ties us back into the thing. Here's one for you. Here's the one I love that nobody ever gets. There once was a God. He took the world and divided it up into 100 parts. Does anybody see where it's at?
Where does that come from?
We're just talking it through.
Oh.
Did God take the world and divide it into 100 parts? Well, if you go look at the pyramid of Giza,
okay,
you'll find it's divided up into 5,050 parts. What are we talking about? 1 plus 2 plus 3 all the way to 100 is 5,050 units.
Okay.
You take the world, and it is divided up, the diameter of the world, into 5,050 miles.
Are you talking about coordinates? What are you talking about divided up?
Cubits.
Cubits. To the pyramid.
To the pyramid.
Oh, okay.
Or the diameter of the earth, 5,050 miles.
Oh, I got you. Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
So the world is divided up into 100 parts in expounded number theory.
Interesting. Huh.
By the pyramid,
right.
By the world itself.
You're calling the pyramid a mini model of the world then?
It is. It is exactly in the midpoint between north and south.
Right.
Between east and west in the landmass.
We have several podcasts we want to spring off of this one, for instance, you know, the Paul versus James discussion we're having, because that's something that's not talked about. And the Great Pyramid is
definitely the pyramids.
A real interesting study there. Well, but as far as numbers go, what do you want to give to the listeners and readers of our site? What do you want one thing for them to remember after this hearing this podcast? An important thing they should remember.
If you're having trouble with a verse and there's a number,
yeah,
write the number down.
Okay.
Okay? Do you see a number? Do you want to know what it means? Go back and look at the simple numbers.
Okay.
Don't try to do the complex numbers. But if you keep writing with the same number over and over again, you find 24 here, there, and everywhere. Go ahead and do it. Write them down. Put them together. See what happens.
I see.
It's more to look than anything else.
Right.
If you want more examples of simple numbers, tackle the Gospels. I mean, Jesus' parables and the stories that surround Jesus are definitely
right.
A lot of simple numbers in there to show you what's taking place.
Right. And it's like the one last 2 weeks ago, reading with Jesus turning water into wine, you know, how many purification jars, or ritual purification jars, were there at the wedding? There were six. And it wasn't seven, not perfection. It was six jars that he put, you know, converted into wine. Again, we're looking at the six being the number of men.
What is converting water into wine?
Well, that's another discussion.
I mean, you bring up converting six men into what? Taking the base things of the earth and creating it into the new wine?
Right.
Perfecting
something of man, six.
So would you say during that he was witnessing the Godhead? Because those six jars, were 20 to 30, whatever that dimension was.
Gallons, yeah.
Gallons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Same 23.
Right. Right. That's interesting, yeah. Yeah. You know, those jars were just sitting out there, you know, and there's enough wine. If you were to, for instance, the purification of those six jars, they're saying, you know, one cup is enough to bless 100 people. So think about one jar, 20 to 30 gallons,
and
times six. And that's enough for the whole world. It's a symbolic meaning of just looking at the parables, looking at other the words that Jesus says, that they're meant to be taken on a superficial level and then on a deeper spiritual level. And I think that's the main point we're getting here with the numbers, is that on a superficial level, they're just a number. There are 153 fish. Just look past it. That's what they brought into the net. But we're asking the readers and listeners to look at the deeper meaning of why there's 153 fish. Something to look at and how it correlates to the Old Testament, the numbers throughout the Bible. Wouldn't you agree that's a good point to?
Yeah, I use it from Old Testament to New Testament.
Right.
But they'll also have, you can use it just straight in the New Testament, just straight in the Old Testament. You'll see the correlations.
Yeah. And Adam, any comments on Numbers? I mean, I think recently, you know, you've been really studying these too. What has it shown you? How has it furthered your path of faith with Christ?
Well, one of the things that I've seen is, I don't know about furthering my path of Christ, but as far as just, well, it has in a way, as far as affirming that when you see these numbers and how they correlate together and how it is constantly popping up over and over and over, and over again, not only simple but complex numbers, bringing on this meaning, it just confirms your faith in the validity of Scripture.
Right.
But one, you asked me, you were asking about examples of where we've seen these examples in verses, and one of the ones that I've seen is the, I know we haven't brought all this one up, but the 13. Okay, there's actually, people talk about, okay, there are 12 tribes, there are 12 apostles.
Right.
Well, no, that's not correct. Actually, you know, when you take out Joseph and you put in his two sons, there's actually 13 tribes.
Because Joseph had two
sons. Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, in Egypt.
Okay.
And there are 12 land divisions amongst the tribes.
Right.
Levi doesn't get a land portion.
Right.
Levi is spread throughout the whole area of Israel. So you actually have 13 within the 12.
Right.
And then when you go over to the New Testament, you look at the apostles. Well, were there 12 apostles? No, not really. Because later on, when you had Judas Iscariot taken out, then you have Matthew is being put in by man, but God kind of overlooks that and brings in Paul.
Right.
And Paul is the last apostle that's brought in.
Right.
And Paul is number 13.
Would be 13.
So,
see, that same thing with Paul, the three different divisions of the 12 tribes of Israel, they're always listed as 12, but there's 13 of them. They're listed three different ways, and there are three different sets of 12 apostles.
So there's always somebody being taken out, always somebody being put back in.
But did you ever, I mean, I know I didn't before looking at Numbers, but did you get a deeper understanding by paying attention to Numbers?
Oh, what do you mean?
Thinking about the numbers of the Bible and how they relate, you know, 12 tribes, 13 tribes, did that help you?
Oh, well, one of the things that all helped me with was a paper we did a while back on the two churches,
right?
And looking at in the book of Revelation chapter 3 with Philadelphia starts in chapter 3 verse 7,
right?
And goes through 13.
Okay,
so we see a 37 and a 13 together,
right?
Where else do we see a 37 and a 13? Well, we see that with the, which we talked about before, the tribe of Ephraim,
right,
coming out as the 13 colonies, the United States, added on to 37 states being 50.
Right.
So we see that five number of grace. And so it's almost like you're talking about Philadelphia is, we're talking about the English language.
Right.
And we're talking about how the English language correlates to these numbers. Well, the Gentile church prophesied in the Old Testament is the Puritans, the people who came out of Europe,
right,
from the Catholic Church, broke away.
Right.
That last day church before Laodicea.
Right.
Which is mainly speaking English.
So, I mean, we'll make a point there. You're talking about the tribes. You're talking about countries forming out of those tribes later. So we got to go back to the same statement we made, which definitely works in this sense. If God allows numbers meaning for a reason and allows the books to be divided in certain chapters, certain verses, it has a reason for why there's, for instance, 153 fish.
Correct.
And there's definitely reasons for the countries that exist in today's world to have manifested into the countries they are. And that's not chance. I mean, what does it take for, look at the history of the United States, how fragile and how much time it took for this country to form, and how much, you know, they were up against the mighty empire of England, Britain, right?
Yeah, correct.
And we still came out of that as a country. Is that man's will or is it God's will? Because if we're saying it's God's will, there's a reason for why countries exist.
And there'll be numbers that will correlate along with it.
Right. Right.
Just like you have Ephraim and the 13s.
Right.
all these numbers, notice how these numbers are drawing different subjects and drawing them together.
Right.
We just took the 12 tribes of Israel
and made them into countries.
Well, we took the 12 tribes, according to the numbers, we took the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right.
They got divided up into three groups of 12, but using 13 people.
Okay.
We just did the same thing with the three sets of disciples.
Okay.
You have with Judas, with Matthias, with Paul.
Okay.
It's the same thing. But the numbers are what drew us to that fact.
I get you. Right.
Yeah. They're not golden rules, they're clues.
Right, they're clues. Yeah. A clue in a deeper meaning. And that's what the numbers have done for me, too, is after talking to you about it and reading the Bible, paying attention to the numbers, I look at things totally in a different light. That the numbers are there for a reason, and I pay attention to them. And it hasn't, you know, I would say it's helped in my path of faith for one main reason, is that I've learned that the Bible is the inherent word of God, and that there's no mistakes, chances of things happening or said or being said the way they are. It's not a creation of man, because no way could a man or a group of men, I mean, you have more than one man getting together, it's going to get even more complicated.
Yeah.
How could it come out to be so many things correlating to each other, relating to each other? It ties so beautifully together as a net.
That's the Bible for you.
Yeah.
What are the chances of a virgin having a child?
Right.
Okay? That's the way God does it. He's running the odds up so much. It's like, how many odds do you want?
Right.
Yeah. What's the odds of Christ fulfilling all the
prophecies
that they did?
Yeah.
You know, one more thing, too, is that I hear a lot of comments from people who are new Christians or immature Christians, let's just say, who have even been around for a while.
That's not a bad thing. Because I was.
Yeah.
I mean, we all were immature. I mean, it takes time.
Well, let's say immature Bible teachers.
Okay.
Or even pastors or whatever, who kind of push off the stories of the Old Testament as kind of meaningless.
Right.
Oh, really?
Right.
Let's go back and look at the numbers, and you play into what's really being said, and is it really meaningless, or is it there for a reason?
Right.
You know, there's a lot more stuff that could have been put in the Old Testament that wasn't. I think it was probably there for a reason.
Right. Right. That's another discussion, too, what's been taken out and reasons why. And some of it should have been taken out, some of it shouldn't.
Sure.
But we have the 66 books for a reason. That's God's work.
I mean, even the genealogies, you go back, and they are pretty quite boring.
Right.
You know, just looking at them on a surface level. Nobody really reads the genealogies. But when you really look and study them, you know, like, for example, we were talking about the genealogy of Seth to Noah, that Lamech line.
Right.
And you really go and look at those numbers, things start popping out, and you start realizing, you start getting clues into different areas.
Right.
So the next time you get stuck in the begats, you're bored, count them, and look at the numbers.
Let's deal with this question, because I've heard that too. We'll deal with one last question here and then break up, but what do you say to Bible teachers who basically made the comment, you know, that's just going to steer people away from their faith. Why are you distracting people with these numbers and so much confusion? I mean, that's the point. To us, it's not confusing at all. It's a direction. It's a path to a deeper understanding. Because it makes sense because a pattern is there.
I don't think it's confusing. I think it's solidifying.
I agree. But what do you say about this to Bible teachers, some advice to them on what our point is.
Well, these are the same Bible teachers who can't teach anything in the Old Testament anyway.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if they can't understand the Old Testament, much less the numbers.
Right. Can you remember what they said last week?
That's true.
I mean, what are these people really teaching? What do they have to offer?
Right.
When's the last time you heard in a church that Jesus, the father line of Jesus, comes out to 77?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
See, the trouble is they not only can't do the Old Testament, they can't count.
Right. But tell us to a Jew, and they totally will understand what you're saying.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a... actually...
They'll deny that it's English.
Right. They'll deny it's English, but they won't deny it of the numbers the Old Testament. To them, they will write the New Testament when the Second Coming happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to... Now, and also to the Muslim, I'm sorry, but there are teachers of the Quran that also... see the numbers inherent in the scriptures, even though they spring off
from the Orient.
Yeah.
Oh, they're totally locked into that.
Yeah. And it's mathematics is the language of God. You hear that cliche, that slogan, right? Well, why?
I think a lot of Bible teachers are scared, you know, because it's such a big topic and outside the normal abstract for the Western way of thinking that they're scared of what they might learn, or they're scared of taking on a topic because it's I think
that's the point. I think it is. It's an abstract. There are certain groups of people that think abstractly, and I didn't always think like that in my life, but later I've gotten used to it with an open mind and open heart. I can think more abstract and understand why. But isn't that the point, that Western society looks at things in a logical way?
It's not even Western and Eastern.
Right.
It's more that my ways are not your ways.
Right.
You've got to learn the way God put the book out. If God put the book together, He put it together His way.
Yeah.
Okay. You can throw man in there all you want, but if God put the book together, I didn't put these numbers in here.
Right.
He did.
Right.
Yeah, one thought that I always had, too, is if there are logical people in this world and there are abstract people,
right,
and God created them both, then God's got to be both abstract and logical.
There you go.
You know, we see the logic of things all around us, but look at the duck-billed platypus. That's pretty abstract.
Right.
So, I mean, we
look at man and woman.
Right.
That's about as abstract as you're going
to
get.
So we have to consider through nature and just through understanding God and creation that God will teach abstract.
Right.
God will teach logical.
Exactly.
And if we're learning to learn both sides,
right,
then the picture will really begin to open up.
Definitely.
I think the last little point is we're not telling anybody to take these numbers and make your gospel out of them.
Right.
They're there for clues. They were put there for clues.
Right.
Look at how we discuss a number and look at how it takes us into these different subject matters.
Right.
I wouldn't have connected the tribes of Israel with the disciples.
Okay.
Vaguely, you might have gotten 12 disciples, 12 tribes of Israel. Each tribe has its own disciple.
Right.
And that couldn't be farther from the truth.
Right.
Okay? Because all the disciples are from Judah and Benjamin.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so that doesn't correlate at all. Even though it's there, but yet the pattern is there for
right.
the 12.
Right. I got you. Yeah.
Just the way it brings subject matter, it's like, you know, it's like putting a blue background on something. It's
right.
there to draw attention to.
Right.
That's it.
I think we'll finalize it here with maybe to our listeners and readers, if they have questions or want us to discuss a verse or chapter or number.
A number.
Yeah. And we'll do more podcasts or write a paper on it or both. But I think this is a good introduction to exactly where we're coming from, the importance of it, and how it can help you explore God's Word.
And anyone out there is free to shoot us an email if you have a question. I mean, we'll be happy to answer any questions on numbers. I mean,
it helps us.
We've logged on quite a few of them, so you know, we'd be happy to discuss those.
Definitely. So, great. Well, thank you for being here again another evening.
And remember, it's as simple as 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Great. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.